What's up, everybody, and welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Michael Fabiano, alongside my pal, the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. Look at that hair today, man.
Oh, man, it has a mind of its own sometimes.
I wish I had enough hair for my hair. A mind of its own. And joined by our pal behind the glass, Stephen Manny. What's going on, bro?
You know, I'm a little peeved this morning. I thought I had a real I thought I had a real shot at winning a fantasy title. Looks like we're staring down the barrel of third place.
Wait. It's only Thursday night.
Yeah, we do the 2 week deal. We already had 1 week. It didn't go so well. I thought I was going to pick up Rashad Penny off waivers. I thought I was the smartest guy in the room. And one of the guys in the challenge letter going for seventh place just scooped him on me.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah. There's no rule against that, but isn't that poor etiquette?
No, I mean,
I don't like when teams who didn't make the big bracket can make ad drops.
I have mixed feelings about this, because if it's like a dynasty keeper league, then absolutely.
It's not.
Well, that's different, right?
Right.
This is
if
not.
It's a season-long league, then I have mixed feelings about it a little bit. But
so,
same time.
If you can't see me, obviously, because this is an audio podcast.
Although I've been fooled.
So I'm wearing a Bears jersey today, okay? And I could tell you something right now. I am salty as hell. I'm wearing the Bears jersey because I lost a bet with Seth Rollins and my pal Daniel Monet, who you might know from WWE, a Summer Rae, big Bears fans. And I was stupid enough to make a jersey wager, having a little bit of faith in the Dallas Cowboys. I could tell you right now, and listen, we're going to get to all the fantasy stuff, I promise you. I have never been more frustrated as a Dallas Cowboys fan, ever, okay? This team has driven me nuts. With all the talent that we have, guys, and we play like that, all right? And at this point, it doesn't even matter about Jason Garrett. He could be the damn head coach for the rest of the year. You should have fired him 2 weeks ago, okay? That's right, I'm crying about it. I don't care. My diaper is full right now, all right? This team has quit. This team has quit. Like, Jerry Jones, like, I don't. This guy is just, he's absolutely in denial.
Chicago took it to us. We won't be going anywhere until we can win a football game. They played us well enough tonight to deserve to win the football game. We did all of the things that you can do that cause you to lose football games in the game. That's where it is. Until we can get over here and we'll line up against the Rams, until we can win a football game, I don't care what kind of contention we're in, we've got to start playing and winning a football game so that we can be able to play better than we play tonight.
But that's the problem. We're not going to win a football game. All right, listen, this team had a chance to get behind their head coach. All right, after we lost to the Patriots, it was a close game. We had those two stupid tripping calls, but that was a winnable game. The defense played great. Okay, then you go home and Buffalo freaking gives you your lunch. Like, on a nationally televised stage. You had one good drive, and that was it. Okay?
What the hell's going on out here?
Then it's time to get rid of him. Right? Put Chris Richard in there. Like, give the Cowboys somebody to play behind. They're not behind Jason Garrett. Okay? You don't get blown out two games in a row when you're behind your coach when his feet are in the fire. You don't. And I've been through 1-15, 3-13. I've been through Quincy Carter. I've been through Chad Hutchinson. I've been through Drew Henson. I've been through Ryan freaking Leaf, and I have never been more frustrated with a team in my life. Warren Sharp, yes, keep it up, who is one of the more brilliant minds on Twitter as it pertains to the NFL. Jason Garrett, in the last 5 years, the Cowboys have won just four games. They trailed at half because Jason Garrett can't make halftime adjustments. That ranks 30th. In halftime deficits turn to wins. Only the Browns and Lions have less. Those two teams have gone through seasons without wins. Guys.
What the hell's going on out here?
So, listen, the Rams are going to kick our butts. Then we're going to go to Philadelphia and get our asses handed to us. And then maybe we'll beat the Redskins. Maybe we won't. But at this point, I'm done with the Cowboys. The good news, I hate wearing this jersey. It's way too big, too. The good news, Graham.
You need a hug, Fabs?
I need more than that. I need more than that. I need therapy at this point.
You need a drink? I mean, it's not too early. It's 9 o'clock.
The good news, Graham, is that the Cowboys' top fantasy players
sure
actually did pretty well.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I'm sure Amari Cooper fantasy owners and Michael Gallup fantasy owners were very happy with the end result of that game. Gallup obviously went over 100 yards, and Cooper had the late score to kind of save what was an extremely bad game for his standards. Cooper's less than 100%, right?
He's not right.
Yeah.
He's not right.
That knee injury, I think, has really limited him, and it looked like his snaps were being limited and early in the game, and then I'm not really sure why they brought him back in the game, but it was great for fantasy.
Yeah, I didn't really like Gallup's matchup either, but he went and had a great game. And Dak wasn't great. He had just under 18, but he didn't kill you. You know, it wasn't like he had 10 or 11. So you'll take that. I mean, Blake Jarwin had 11 fantasy points in that game. Now, the big hero of the game was Mitchell Trubisky. And nobody started him. I mean, unless you're in a 2QB league or Superflex league, nobody started him. And I give him props. They used him as a runner a lot. He had 10 carries. Okay. And if they're going to use Mitchell Trubisky like that, Mitchell Trubisky actually might help you the last couple of weeks. But I will tell you this, and this is not me being bitter. Actually, probably is a little bit. Mitchell Trubisky has had three or four really strong games lately, but they've come against the Lions twice, the Giants, and the Cowboys, and all of those teams are crap. So when he does it next week against the Packers, then I'll give him some credit. But if they're going to run him like that, Graham.
Right.
That's huge for his fantasy value.
It is. And, this is something we kind of discussed earlier this year. Is like they're just not letting Trubisky scramble as much. And I think a part of that is just maybe he took some hits last year that he didn't necessarily want to take again. It was more of a business decision. But, this is one of the things about Trubisky's game that I thought we could be fairly confident in this season. And we just haven't seen it until last night. And maybe it's, the Bears finally realizing that every time they let Trubisky throw it, 50 plus times that they're going to lose. They're going to have to scheme up some runs. It was good to see actually like schemed RPO, schemed option read runs. And that's something the Bears should have been doing in week one. But I wonder if it was just one of those things where Mitch just was not comfortable doing it until late in the year until they needed it. And they need it now because it's got to be the base of their offense. For what it's worth, Cowboys, man. They're just in a total tailspin.
I know.
They're in a total tailspin.
I know. We should have fired Garrett 2 weeks ago.
Well.
At this point now, you keep him. Like I said, let's lose out the rest of the season.
Let's be honest. The Cowboys should have fired Jason. There was a few times they should have fired Garrett when Romo was there.
I know.
We've been waiting way too long for this. But look, that Patriots loss has just sent they have sleptwalk through the last two games. They've given up two massive halftime deficits now.
They've given up.
And back-to-back
on that coach. And Jerry Jones has given up on the fan base because the fan base, you can't be behind Jerry Jones right now the way that things are going. I mean, that team could not tackle last night. Cordarrelle Patterson's one play.
Yeah.
I mean, really? It was awful. It was just awful. Speaking of Bears wide receivers, Allen Robinson had a big game, two touchdowns. Anthony Miller with another strong game. He's really come into his own over the last few weeks. Now
I can't wait to draft Anthony Miller in every league next year. He is so good.
Again, you got the Packers next week, so that's going to be a tough one for the Bears. But a good night for them. David Montgomery did not have a great fantasy night. He ran well. He ran hard. But then he got hurt at the end of the game. So we're going to have to keep tabs on his status moving into next week. Luckily for Montgomery, they'll have a little extra time to get him healthy playing on a Thursday night. So that was your Thursday night review. It's just all depressing. And you know what, too? I got the triple whammy. The Cowboys got their butts kicked. I got to wear a Bears jersey. And I'm in two playoffs where I played against Dak and Amari Cooper. So not only did my team play bad, and I'm wearing this stupid jersey, but the garbage time beat me up in fantasy.
Well, at least you're not Marcus Grant.
What happened?
Who's facing Allen Robinson and Michael Gallup in our Fantasy Live League me.
Ooh.
Take that, Marcus.
Graham, I gotta figure out who I want to win in that matchup. I don't know, because your team's pretty stacked. Like I play the worst seed. I don't know if I want to play you.
I'm biased, but I'm number one in points scored.
I don't know. I'm two. I don't know if I want to play you. All right, anyways, let's get to the week 14 matchups. First off, Panthers. Falcons. Of course, the big news there, Cam Newton with the foot, with the surgery. He's probably played his last down for the Panthers. Julio Jones, in terms of the injuries, missed last week's game. He's been practicing him in a limited fashion. If he practices today, I think he should probably be a go. Austin Hooper might come back.
Yes, Austin Hooper, after a month of missing games here, the Falcons kind of look like they're going to be at full strength. We'll have to see if Hooper gets into full practice today.
Yep, and then Greg Olsen Friday. Also.
Yeah, and then on the Panthers side, Greg Olsen is going to miss this game with a concussion. He's been in the protocol all week. He's not going to get cleared. I will say real quick on the Olsen thing, I saw some Ian Thomas streaming love earlier this week, and I think that's pretty thin for this one, Fabs, because...
it's because the position's thin.
Well, not only that, but Panthers interim head coach Perry Fuel came out and said that the Panthers are going to roll with some sort of committee approach with Chris Manhertz and their fullback, Alex Arma, instead of just rolling out Ian Thomas as their starter, which they did last year. And as we remember, Thomas was pretty decent for fantasy.
He was,
I think there's a lot of better streamers out there than Thomas. But, man, this is just the Christian McCaffrey game, right?
I mean, you would think so.
It has to be.
You would think so. Obviously, he's clearly a must-start.
I mean,
what about Kyle Allen, though?
Yeah.
What are you thinking? Because the last time he played Atlanta wasn't good.
I know. I've thought about this a little bit this week, too. But I just think there's just way better quarterback streamers that are out there. I mean, if Kirk Cousins is out there, he's obviously a fantastic play. But you could go way deeper with Tannehill, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Sam Darnold. I mean, there's a lot of really good streaming plays this week. And Kyle Allen's fine. Yeah. But I would have to imagine there's somebody better out there.
Do you have any trepidation about the change, Rivera out?
North Turner was, I guess, sort of demoted, but his son is now going to call plays over the next couple months. So North Turner is going to be the assistant of the head coach, and his son is going to call plays. I would assume they're going to basically just do the same thing.
I would think the same thing.
Man, so Christian McCaffrey in his last three games against Atlanta, he's gone for 149 yards, 170 yards, and 191 yards from scrimmage.
Sounds pretty good.
In his career against Atlanta, he's averaged 9.4 receptions, and he has 10 or more receptions in three straight games against Atlanta.
Yeah,
he's going to have a monster game.
What are we thinking about Matt Ryan? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if that's the thing. If Julio and Hooper back, I'm going to be back in as a low-end QB1 here.
I can't stand it. I can't stand him. I'm done with him.
I
dropped him in one of my leagues.
It's a really close call this week between him and like guys like Tannehill and Jameis Winston and Sam Darnold. Like, I really don't know if there's a lot separating the range of outcomes for all of these guys, but I do know, getting all these guys back healthy, getting Julio back, getting Hooper back, this Panthers defense is no good. And maybe they'll scheme together a good performance for their ex-head coach Ron Rivera, but their defense has just been getting absolutely obliterated, especially on the ground, Fabs. And Devonta Freeman.
Yep.
This is a really good spot for him.
Back to Ryan, though. I mean, he hasn't had a big game since week six.
Nope.
Okay. He's had good matchups. He had Carolina a couple of weeks ago and had 16 points. He had 7 against Tampa Bay and 16 last week. He hasn't had more than 16-6.
He's just been hitting his floor, and
that's all he's done.
The really only bad games in there was the Rams one. They got destroyed, and then he got hurt in that game late in the third quarter, and then obviously the Bucs game was just a disaster.
I will say that if you're not playing Ryan this week, cut him. He's got San Francisco next week, so you can start him for sure. Calvin Ridley is missing practice. I believe it's with a toe. He should be okay. If Julio comes back, are we fading Russell Gage?
I mean, probably. I think Gage he's kind of been just a low upside receiver for sure.
Yeah. All right. So Carolina's defense maybe in this one? No?
Yeah, not really.
Okay.
Not for me.
Atlanta's defense? No?
I think there's better defenses out there.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Colts. There's one of them. Colts and Buccaneers. Marlon Mack. Could we get him back this week?
It does look like Marlon Mack will return this week after breaking his hand, but T.Y. Hilton is going to miss this game with a calf injury, and I think if the Colts lose here, they'll probably shut Hilton down because Indy will be pretty far removed from playoff contention. But yes, they are going to get Marlon Mack back, and Fabs, I really don't know what to do. I think I'm fading Mack this week just because...
Tampa Bay's good against the run, man.
Well, Tampa Bay has the number one ranked defense in Football Outsiders DVOA. And Mack has typically not done well in games the Colts lose. And right now the Colts are 3-point road dogs. And frankly, I think it should be a little bit wider. I think Tampa could get on them here. If Jameis just doesn't turn the ball over, which you mentioned at the top, the Colts defense is a decent streaming play that's really low owned. Just because the Jameis Winston experience, man. Yeah. He could throw for 350 yards and also provide a pretty decent day for the opposing defense.
Yep, and I get it, Brissett. The matchup looks good. I don't I don't trust him, man. Yeah. Not without most of his weapons.
I'm with you on that.
Not even in two QB leagues, I'd probably be very wary. If Mac is back, then Jordan Wilkins and that whole mess of backfield is, at least it's a little bit clear, but the matchup's not great. Zach Pascal could be a decent deep league option against the Buccaneers this week.
And real quick, I want to mention Paris Campbell is going to be back in this game, and that's really big for the Colts because they're not only without Hilton, they're going to be without Eric Ebron, who's on IR.
Chester Rogers is banged up.
Chester Rogers is out. Devin Funchess is not returning, it looks like, off of his collarbone issue. So Campbell is really, really cheap in daily this week, and I think he has a path to, like, you know, 5 to 7 targets.
Jack Doyle is a tremendous start. Okay. We loved him last week. Get him in your lineup again.
I'm starting Doyle over Hunter Henry this week in a few leagues.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
I love this spot.
Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston. Again, Graham mentioned, you know, this whole thing is a ride. It'll make you sick at times.
Just don't watch. Just don't watch sometimes. Look,
he's a top 10 option this week. Ronald Jones last week in a smash spot. Pick up a blitz and got benched.
I don't know
what's going on with that backfield. I don't think anybody does. Jones is going to be the starter. The Colts are actually tough against the run this year. So that's a tough one for me.
I'm so mad at myself. Look, I've been off the Rojo train since like college. I did not like him for yards created coming out. I haven't had him on many fantasy teams. And last week, I kind of dabbled a little bit. Like, I was like, oh, this could be the Ronald Jones week against Jacksonville. And then Peyton Barber gets 17 carries. That's neat.
OJ Howard actually had a decent game last week. I'm not touching him with a 39.5-foot pole. Buccaneers defense this week? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, they could get a few sacks on
this set.
They're getting
some pressure, man.
Their front seven's really good, but what concerns me is obviously their secondary is just so trash. Yep. And I mean, I actually think Campbell and Doyle and Pascal could do some things here.
Yep. Dolphins at Jets. The big one here, Le'Veon Bell, who is sick. I would suggest he's sick of playing for the Jets, but he's ill. And Adam Gase is saying that he's unsure if he's going to play this week. So I guess if you're in a pinch, you can pick up Ty Montgomery. But Kalen Ballage got put on IR, which means Patrick Laird could end up being a replacement for Le'Veon in fantasy.
Yeah, I will say below.
I don't like the way you said that.
Real quick, I will say below Powell's been playing ahead of Ty Montgomery this year, and I think he would probably be the starter this season if Bell misses. But I mean, I don't know, man. I have no idea what the deal is with Bell. I mean, obviously, you just need to make sure he's out there on Sunday morning. I would imagine he's probably going to play. But yeah, Patrick Laird, man, his snaps have increased now in 4 straight games. Jets are allowing the 3rd most receptions to running backs. And like, this front 7 is really good. But Miami's going to be without both C.J. Mosley and Jamal Adams, who has not practiced all
New
week.
York,
and that is huge for the Jets. This is a pretty good spot for Miami. I actually really like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I do too. Hey, it's a revenge game, man.
Yeah.
Revenge. It's the revenge game. And he's got another one, actually, against the Bengals. He's got the Jets. The Dolphins played 2 weeks in a row at MetLife Stadium. They got the Jets and they have the Giants. And then the Bengals.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick could end up leading you to a fantasy championship. And in this season, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Devontae Parker has been one of the most reliable yet, unheralded wide receivers in fantasy football. Keep him in your lineup against the Jets. They've given up 11 touchdowns and the 7th most fantasy points to receivers who are lined out wide. Mike Gesicki is a decent option. He's getting more opportunities in the passing game. Had a touchdown last week. Pretty talented pass catcher there. So if you need a tight end, there are a lot of good options this week who are kind of like in the same tier. But Gesicki is in there. What about the Dolphins defense? We like the Dolphins or the Jets defense more? Is that the Jets defense is banged up?
You know, I think I would fade both of the defenses here just because this game has the potential, I think, to kind of, I won't say shoot out, but I could see 45, 48 total points here. I don't really think either of these defenses, especially with the Jets' defensive injuries, I don't think they're gonna put up much of a contest here.
Yeah, I think we're sticking with Sam Darnold, though he killed us last week. The Dolphins have given up 29 touchdown passes, 3rd most points to quarterbacks.
Dolphins have given up a top 5 fantasy performance in 3 straight games to Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and Carson.
And Darnold's been better at MetLife, so you can play him. Robbie Anderson or Jamison Crowder?
Crowder, but I do kind of like Robbie Anderson as a little bit of a sleeper in this game.
Yeah,
he's come back to life in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he has. Ryan, this is what he always freaking does, man. He stinks all year long, and then the end of the year, he shows you the glimpses of why people actually like him. Ryan Griffin is a guy who you could potentially play this week. He's been underrated. He had 11 points against the Dolphins earlier in the season, so he could be on the waiver wire there as well. 49ers and Saints. I mean, this is one of there's like 3 or 4 huge games this week.
Yeah,
this is one of them.
This could determine number 1, number 2 seed.
Yeah, Matt Breida Looks like he could be back this week.
Yeah, Matt Breida will be back this week. He's been practicing in full off this ankle,
which means
ankle injury, and
can't start any Niners.
Exactly right. You can't. Look, this backfield is impossible to predict right now because Raheem Mostert came out and basically usurped Tevin Coleman last week. Coleman played a season low 18% of 49ers snaps. And Breida's always going to get his 10 to 15 touches when he's healthy because he's just that damn good.
Yep.
I have no clue and no interest on who to start here.
Five different 49ers running backs have led that position in fantasy points this season. So, and the Saints are good against the run. Garoppolo is a fade here for me. The Saints are giving up fewer than 18 points per game to field generals. Now, this could end up being a shootout, but I don't really see it going that way.
I don't think this game's going to shoot out, man.
Yeah,
I really don't.
And honestly, dude, I'm benching Drew Brees. I have him in one league. I'm starting Tannehill over him. I don't like Brees.
I'm with you on that, too.
I don't like Brees, man. Like, he's not an elite fantasy quarterback anymore.
I'm with you on
that. And he's really disappointed in two of his last four games, so I keep him on the sidelines. So,
4-for-4 football, shout out to John Paulson.
I love those guys.
Yeah, they have these schedule-adjusted metrics for quarterback matchups, and the Niners are the number one team in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed, better than the Patriots.
Wow.
And, I mean, they have just been so, so solid. So I'm with you. I would start pretty much all the streamers we've already discussed this week.
Yeah, no, Darnold as well, no question about that. Don't get hung up on the name, guys.
And by the way, this is the week Alvin Kamara scores a touchdown. I'm putting it on
He's
ice.
He's got two.
Yeah.
I mean, is that crazy or what?
He's
got two touchdowns all freaking year.
I'm putting it on wax. Kamara's scoring a touchdown in this game.
All right. I hope so. I got him in a couple of leagues. Deebo Samuel is the only Niners wide receiver you can trust. He has been a beast. Emmanuel Sanders is a huge fade for me.
Lattimore's probably going to travel with Sanders, right? He'll probably shadow him.
I would think so. So Debo's the guy that you're going to want to start. On the Saints side, Jared Cook is not a good start this week. And he's been really solid, and you probably have to play him. I get it. But if you're looking just purely at the numbers, this Niners defense has been really tough on tight ends. They're giving up fewer than four catches a game. They're giving up fewer than 8 fantasy points per game to that position. I believe they've only given up 3 touchdowns to tight ends all year long. So Cook's been good. So if you play him, I get it. But Vance McDonald could potentially be out there. You know, we talked about Ryan Griffin. So you may want to look elsewhere if you have Jared Cook. Saints and 49ers defenses, for me, both fades, despite them being two of the better defenses in fantasy football. Next up, Lions and Vikings. Now, just quickly, Kerryon Johnson's return to practice. He can't come back until week 16, but if you have a reserve spot, like I have reserve spots in all the leagues that I run, pick him up and stash him, dude, to week 16. If he comes back, he's got the Broncos.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll come back. I mean, maybe the Lions are done.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Just for the hell of it.
Yeah, it's probably a sharp move if you have an IR spot, but I don't see why the Lions would rush Kerryon Johnson back. And speaking of which, I don't know if Adam Thielen's going to play this week.
I know. Adam Thielen's just been...
I mean, he has not practiced. I just don't know if this hamstring's right. The Vikings are clearly looking good for at least a playoff spot. They could still win the NFC North, so obviously they would really like to get Thielen back and be at full health, but they're not going to push him, and he's clearly not right.
Can you play Alexander Mattison this week as a flex?
Yeah, I absolutely think you can. And I actually think, look, Dalvin Cook is like insistent that he's going to play this week through the shoulder injury. I think, you know, if Cook is active, you've got to play him in your season-long lineups. Mm-hmm. But I am fully expecting Alex Mattison to play a much bigger role this week just because simply, I mean, look, the Vikings are at home and they're favored to win by nearly 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
If they get out to a quick lead, there is no reason for them to load up Cook with his usual, you know, 20 to 25 touches.
No, absolutely.
I'm expecting Cook to get like, you know, 15 to 18 touches. I just don't think he's going to get his normal workload here. And there's no reason for him to.
And you're starting your normal Vikings, including Kirk Cousins, who, oh, by the way, that wasn't his fault last week. I mean, he should have had 19 or 20 fantasy points minimum. His receiver
that loss was help him. That loss was not on Kirk Cousins.
No, it was not.
He's been playing so well the last 2 months.
And I mean, he had almost 30 against Detroit earlier this season, so he should crush them. He could potentially be a top 5 quarterback this week.
I agree.
Diggs is a great play. If Thielen's out, I mean, keep riding Kyle Rudolph, dude. Vikings defense is a really good play. And I know David Blau had a good game last week. Home game. This week he's on the road. First NFL start on the road.
Yeah.
That building is freaking loud, too.
Real quick on Rudolph. He has just been...
He's ridiculous.
It's just been crazy. 13, almost 14 PPR points per game in Thielen's 4 missed games. And when Thielen plays, he's averaged 5.5.
That's it. That's the deciding factor.
Yeah.
With Rudolph. Bo Scarborough, you don't want anything to do with him. What are we thinking about? Galladay and Marvin Jones, about, though.
So I was
Galladay
ask you
burned
that.
Me last week.
Yeah, you know, I think just the matchup is so good.
I'm
here.
Playing him.
I think you can play both of these guys as kind of. You just have to understand that like it could be completely boom or bust because I have no idea how to handicap David Blau this week, but I do know that these Vikings boundary corners are just getting absolutely roasted. Yeah. I mean, Xavier Rhodes ranks dead last in passer rating allowed. He's allowed a 131 passer rating this year in coverage.
Imagine, I mean, he was one of the guys that you didn't want your wide receiver to face recently.
He has fallen off a cliff this year. And Trey Waynes also isn't playing well. I think you can play both Jones and Galladay this week. It's just you have to understand the range of outcomes is like Galladay could catch 5 passes for 14 yards.
Yep.
Or he could go, you know, 6 for 1, like 120 or something.
And I think
stupid.
Projected game script, too, favors David Blau in the Lions passing game.
And TJ Hockenson is on IR now, for what it's worth. So, really, these are the only guys that Blau will be targeting.
And goal as well, yeah. Moving on, Broncos at Texans. This is a pretty clean game as far as I could tell. Drew Lock will make his second NFL start, although this will be his first road start. Things are a little bit different when you're away from home. So he's clearly not a guy that you're going to be utilizing. Philip Lindsay is, and you know, we say this every week, Graham, that he's a good start. The matchup's great. We're not really seeing the production. Now, this might end up being, this is one of the better matchups that he'll have all season long. If you look at Houston, they've allowed a top 10 fantasy runner in 3 straight games.
Wow.
So I mean, Lindsay's a play. Well, you know, listen, I guess, again, I say like you follow the process. I don't know if you can trust it, but the process here says that Lindsay's a good play.
Always trust the process.
Cortland Sutton is Superman. I mean, I don't care who's throwing him the football. John Elway can come out of the suite and throw it to him. It doesn't matter. He's just ridiculous. It's really hard to not play him. Noah Fant, he's kind of a fade for me because the targets, they could be there. They could increase, but this is the fantasy playoffs. Not sure I'm going to trust my tight end position to Noah Fant considering all the good options we have out there. Now, the Texans backfield. Mm-hmm. Duke Johnson has outsnapped Carlos Hyde in 2 straight weeks. Do we like Duke this week or do we like Hyde this week? Denver's defense, they can be had by pass-catching running backs.
I just, really honestly, man, I don't have any interest in either of these guys.
Okay.
I mean, Hyde is a touchdown-dependent, you know, RB3 at best, and Duke Johnson, I mean, honestly, Duke Johnson is a touchdown-dependent player, too, because he's just not getting a lot of touches.
Yeah.
You know, the snaps have been there because the Texans lost 2 weeks ago and then obviously beat the Patriots last week. I love Duke Johnson. Sorry, they didn't lose 2 weeks ago. They were playing in a close game against the Colts, but I love Duke Johnson. He did get, you know, 14 touches last week, but I think that was more of a little bit of game plan, and Bill O'Brien is pretty clearly shown that he's not going to try to scheme up some big-time usage for Johnson. This game's really straightforward, man.
Yep.
Like, it's Sutton and Lindsay on the Broncos side.
Yep.
You're starting Watson, you're starting Hopkins. I think the closest call in this
game
is Fuller.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't trust Darren Fells either.
Yeah, oh yeah. Jordan Thomas is going to mix in there for them, too.
And the Texans' defense is a really good play. So is Kyahmi Fairbairn if you're looking for a kicker.
Yeah, Fuller, I just don't know. I mean, there's got to be somebody else on your roster you probably feel comfortable starting over him.
Yeah,
right?
I would think
I mean, the Broncos have done a really good job against, like, you know, basically not allowing big plays this year. I know Mike Williams had that big 52-yard reception, but really, like, other lid lifters like Fuller have not done very well against them this year.
Ravens at Bills, injuries. Doesn't look like there's too much.
Yeah, clean game.
Yeah.
Baltimore is always the same, man. Like, you play them, you must play Lamar Jackson. Mark Ingram and Mark Andrews are fine plays, like always.
Marquise Brown really wanted nothing to do with him, not against Tre'Davious White.
And he popped up on the injury report yesterday with that same ankle injury, and especially with this matchup against White, there's just no reason to play him.
Do you like the Ravens' defense this week? I mean, I don't like either one of the defenses in this game.
I think you can get away with maybe Ravens D just because Josh Allen is always prone for a turnover or two, and the Ravens, the front seven, can get after a little bit.
Yep.
Bills defense, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
No, I'm not playing, not against Lamar. In fact, over the last 4 weeks, defenses facing Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are averaging negative 1.25 fantasy points.
Wow.
Josh Allen, now, I say he's a low-end QB1 or a high QB2 this week because of what he can do, and I get it. Everyone talks about Lamar Jackson and how great he is as a runner. Josh Allen's damn good, too. So all he really needs to do is get into the end zone as a runner, which more often than not he's doing. And he can still give you a decent game. But he's not as highly ranked this week as I've had him in recent weeks. Devin Singletary's a tough play for me. He's a flex at best. Once they get down inside the red zone, it's either Frank Gore or Josh Allen. That sort of puts a cap on his ceiling. What about John Brown this week? Is he a fade for you?
Yeah, you know, this is the thing. I've gone back and forth on this one, too, because Cole Beasley's going to match up against Marlon Humphrey out of the slot, and Marlon Humphrey is just playing extremely well this year. I think John Brown can do things in this game on the boundary. I mean, he's had, you know, two bad back-to-back games in terms of his receiving yardage. Now, obviously, last week he got bailed out because he threw that, you know, touchdown to Devin Singletary, which is awesome.
Yep.
You know, so he got bailed out in a sense, last week, but I think this is a pretty... I won't say it's a good matchup because it's obviously not, but it's a good spot for him to at least get right in terms of his receiving yardage total.
Yep.
Because I think the Bills are going to trail in this game, and that's the reason I'm going to Josh Allen this week too as a QB1 still, because if the Bills do trail, we want Allen scrambling and dropping back
right.
the pass. His game script should actually go in favor of the Bills and Brown here, so I think you can play both Allen and John Brown. You just have to understand this is not a ceiling spot.
Yeah, Cole Beasley also. He's better than Odell Beckham Jr.
Do not play Cole Beasley this
season. But, yeah, he's tough to trust in this one. Yeah. Bengals at Browns. John Ross is coming back.
Yes.
I don't know that I trust him. We're still waiting to hear about David Njoku, who, oh, by the way, when he does come back, if he's back in time for next week, they got the Cardinals. So that could be a sneaky ad. Baker Mayfield and that hand. I see people out there concerned about this because one of two things. Number one, if his hand ain't right, if he has any kind of re-aggravation, obviously it's going to hinder him from throwing the football very much. And then if the Browns get ahead in this game, then game script could mean a lot of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and not much Baker. But the matchup on paper is really good.
It is. I'm with you. I just don't know if there's a reason to play Baker outside of like two QB leagues this week, just because, like we've mentioned this whole time, there's probably better streaming options available. But if you do have a bench spot this week, and I think Marcus pointed this out on the Wednesday show, if you've got a bench spot to burn, you can stash Baker because they play the Cardinals in week 15, and that game is going to go off.
Yeah, and you, like, I would be cutting Matt Ryan to do this. I'd be cutting Jared Goff to do this. Don't be afraid to cut, you know, these guys who are, you know, quote unquote big names. If you're not using dudes, why the hell are they on your roster? You've only got 3 weeks left at best. Andy Dalton is a fade for me. Joe Mixon, he's probably an RB2 last week. Still got plenty of touches. Scored double-digit fantasy points. Tyler Boyd is back in our good graces with Dalton back. You could play him. Auden Tate is probably a fade for me this week. On the Cleveland side of it, I mean, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are both starts this week. I actually think this is the week that OBJ finally gets into the end zone and has a decent game.
Okay,
Jarvis Landry's a great play. Cincinnati's really struggled against slot receivers. So
they'll probably get Beckham in the slot a few times, too.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, they got to get him going. I mean, you know, I don't think the Browns are going anywhere, but you want to at least finish the season off on a high note. You don't want to lose to the Bengals at home, and you want to get OBJ involved. Browns defense also a nice streamer this week. Redskins at Packers. This one, too, pretty clean from an injury perspective.
It is. Yeah. Adrian Peterson has been limited in practice all week, but he's been limited in practice all year long because he's old.
that's right.
but look, I mean, the biggest thing for the Redskins for me this week is, like, can we play Darius Geis?
As a flex.
I think so, too. Okay,
as a flex. I mean, I'd like to see him getting more volume.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing is,
you
like,
know, Mr. Callahan in Washington there. Can you, I mean, just come on, man. I mean, we have enough things that drive us crazy in fantasy football. Can you give DG the ball a little bit more?
So,
you know, 15, 18 times.
Right. I mean, Geis was third in snap
so
rate
good.
Back here. Chris Thompson and Adrian Peterson both out-snapped Geis last week. And I mean, Geis is so obviously their best option in the backfield, but they're going to continue rotating their backs. And for that reason, I don't think you can really trust Geis more than a flex play. But the matchup is really good. It's just I wonder, not only are Peterson and Thompson going to mix in, I wonder if game script gets out of hand here. Like, they might not be able to run the ball at all. I mean, the Redskins are on the road at Lambeau, against Lambeau, and Aaron Rodgers and Devonta Adams. All these dudes are going to have a huge game.
Yeah, you would certainly think so. And what do the Redskins want to do in this game? They want to run the football because they want to keep the Packers offense off the field. So, you know, hopefully they're going to be able to give Darius enough carries and enough touches where he could be a viable fantasy option. Just saw this come around the wire, and look at what my computer just did. Just as I bring it up. I hate this computer. Apparently, Jerry Jones was on live radio this morning, and he threw out the BS bomb and got cut off. My computer just absolutely just tanked on me. But Jerry, that's how we all feel right now, pal. Packers defense, too, by the way, is a great start. Maybe the best start of the week among streaming defenses. Chargers Jaguars. This game is pretty clean as well, and it's really, this is an easy one. I mean, Phillip Rivers, I don't want anything to do with. I'm playing Austin Eckler. I'm Mike Williams. Do we like Mike Williams this week?
Mike. You know,
he had a good game last week.
He did, and you know, I was a little bit because of that 52-yarder at the end of the game kind of saved it. He went over 100 yards for another game. I don't know. Mike Williams is eventually going to score a touchdown, and
he
does, he will. When he does, I'll probably be off of him. It's just, you know, when the Chargers have been ahead, like the Chargers have not been ahead very often this year, but I actually, God help me, I think they're going to win this game in Jacksonville.
Really?
Yeah, I do. And it's because they're going to be able to run the ball so, so well because the Jags run defense is just.
Melvin Gordon could put up two touchdowns.
Melvin Gordon might go for 30 points this week because this Jags run defense is just abysmally bad. I mean, last 2 months, they've given up 5.8 yards per carry. 5.8. That is a lot. That is a lot. I don't know. Look, the Chargers are really tough to predict every single week, and Mike Williams certainly could have a big game. But, you know, both, you know, A.J. Boye is still playing pretty well. The Jags have done a decent job at, you know, slowing down boundary receivers last couple weeks. I just think there's probably better plays.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you there. So looking at the Jaguars side of things, although let's talk about Hunter Henry. I mean, he's obviously going to be in most lineups here. Let's talk about the Jaguars and the return of the mustache.
Yeah, Gardner's back, baby.
Yeah.
Minshew mania.
I'm not playing him.
Nope.
Not against the Chargers. Chargers, not gonna do it.
Chargers have allowed one top 12 quarterback performance all year, and that was Deshaun Watson back in week three.
Now, I've got DJ Chark in one of my leagues. I am benching him this week. I have Kenny Galladay and Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
So I'm benching him. I could flex him, but I have Joe Mixon in there right now.
What
do you think about DJ Chark?
We share a brain on this. I'm fading Chark in this spot, too.
Like
I'm with you on that. Look, the Chargers last week obviously got dusted by Cortland Sutton because he's just that good. But it's also because the Broncos don't have anybody else to throw to, right? Yeah. I mean, they can throw to Noah Fant. They can dump it off to Phillip Lindsay. But, like, the Jags actually have legit players they can throw to other than DJ Chark. And the Chargers, outside of obviously Sutton's two touchdown performance last week, they've done a really good job on the boundary over the last 2 months. Only the Niners, Chiefs, and Patriots have given up fewer fantasy points to opposing receivers aligned out wide. Chark obviously is fantastic and just supremely talented and can always rip off big plays.
Yep.
But the Jags do have other guys they can go to here.
Yeah, no question about that. Moving on, Steelers at Cardinals. James Conner, not going to play again. Juju Smith, still banged up, not going to play this week. So the Cardinals have been crushed by quarterbacks. If you're in a 2QB league or super flex league, do you dare start the duck? Graham is shaking his head.
There are a lot of good streamer plays this week, but I really wrestle with this one because obviously the Cardinals are just so. I mean, not only are they atrocious on defense, they play so fast on offense. They play with so much pace on offense. It allows other teams to come in and have more play volume because when you're running fast offense, you're going to automatically allow more time in the game for the opposing team to rip off plays. So I could definitely see a good game for Devlin Hodges here. I just think it's just so thin because it's Devlin freaking Hodges, man. Like
exactly.
Okay, here's a fun one. Would you start Brissett or Hodges this week?
I'll probably go Brissett. I don't know.
I might go Hodges if that were the 1v1.
I don't know if I have the faith. I don't know. It's still Devlin Hodges, but again, we've seen third-string quarterbacks come in and play pretty well. So,
and Hodges, you know,
crazier things have happened.
Hodges does not have a lot of arm strength. I watched a good bit of that game last week, but he is significantly better than Mason Rudolph. I mean, he's actually like, at least he's trying to test downfield. And on that note, James Washington.
Oh, dude, he's been so good.
Man.
Play him this week. I mean, if you're hurting at flex or you have a third receiver spot, you need, man, he's been great. I mean, and they have a good relationship. They go hunting together, apparently.
Yep. Yeah, they do.
You know? What better place to talk about how, you know, you're going to run this route, I'm going to throw the ball to you, you know, shoot a duck, whatever. I mean,
nobody's around. You can just scheme up all you want.
Exactly. So he's a good play. Now, Vance McDonald. This is the ultimate smash spot for any tight end because the Cardinals have gotten crushed every single week by tight ends. Okay, I think TJ Hockenson had more points in that game in week one than he's had the rest of the whole season. I mean, it's been that bad. So how highly do we have Vance McDonald ranked this week? That's the question, because he's in a tier with the Ryan Griffins, with the Tyler Higbees, you know, with the Kyle Rudolphs.
Yeah.
Like, where do we go with him?
Look, he's right in that range of outcomes, so I'm with you in that. I just think, you know, because the matchup is so good, Vance McDonald has not done anything this year. So
nothing. He's been nothing but a disappointment.
Yeah, but think about how this game is likely to go. I mean, the Cardinals will be... I mean, I'm a little concerned that the Cardinals' front, their protection will not hold up against the Steelers' dominant front seven. I mean, the Steelers' front seven could really overwhelm Arizona here, which could completely screw this game up for fantasy. But if this game shoots out relatively and both teams put up like over 24, 25 points, there's going to be a lot of pass volume going around. And Vance McDonald only needs like 5 to 6, maybe 7 targets to do extremely well against the Cardinals, because look, they are not, they're literally not covering tight ends.
Yeah.
Tyler Higbee ran ridiculous. Free and uncontested.
Yeah. Huge game.
On multiple of his, multiple plays last week. Yeah. So if Vance is going to get that wide open, they're not even going to try to test him. I think that's probably what would skew it in favor of Vance for me this week. I think I would play Higbee over him, because Higbee's in a really good spot too. Seattle's not good against tight ends. I'd play Rudolph over him too. But I think guys like Mike Gesicki, Ryan Griffin, Hollister, you could play Vance over them for sure.
Yeah, no question about that. Benny Snell would be the Steelers running back to potentially flex this week. Although, if this goes aerial and they're just throwing the ball, you know, back and forth down the field, possession first possession, Jalen Samuels could get a little bit more love. But I'm going to go with Benny Snell out of that backfield this week.
Are we starting now, Kyler Murray here?
I don't like the matchup, honestly. Yeah. I don't have Kyler in my top 10.
Yeah.
I have Tannehill ahead of him. I feel like he's more of like a borderline, more of a high QB2, low QB1. And especially after last week, I think a lot of people are a little bit sort of, I don't know if I want to do that in the first week of the playoffs. Pick your poison. It depends on really what you have as an alternative.
Would you play Darnold over him? I think I would.
Yes, yeah. I have Darnold ranked ahead of him.
I think I would too.
Kenyon Drake's the only playable Cardinals running back this week, and I don't even know if I'd play him. Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, these guys both line up in the slot a lot. If you're going to be able to beat the Steelers and get fantasy points from that defense, it's from the slot. But do you trust either one?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I trust that Christian Kirk is really talented. I mean, he got 7 targets last week against Jalen Ramsey and just didn't really do very much. Larry Fitz has been, I guess, fine for fantasy. He just has no ceiling anymore, and that hurts. And
yeah, Fitzgerald's a guy I actually have been cutting.
I think Kirk could definitely bounce back here, but outside of his one game against the Bucs, he's really not had too many big fantasy performances this year. He beat the Ravens. He beat up on the Ravens really early this year, but that was when they didn't have all the corners they have now.
Yep. Moving on, Titans, Raiders. Injuries in this game, pretty much clean.
Honestly, a lot of these games are really clean. We didn't note that Juju and James Conner in this last game. Juju, I don't think he's going to play. James Conner's already been ruled out for that game. But yeah, Titans, Raiders, there are no injuries to speak of. And honestly, this game is very straightforward for fantasy.
Yep, no question. Ryan Tannehill's a potential top 10 play. AJ Brown could be a little sleeper in this game. Again, deep league. I'm not getting crazy.
I just wish the targets were there, man, because he's so good. AJ Brown is so good. I just wish
here is tremendous. Listen, I don't have AJ Brown in my top 30. Okay, but if you're hurting, maybe you could do worse off the waiver wire. The Titans defense this week. Typically, the Raiders have actually not been a good matchup for defenses, but lately they have been. So I don't have the Titans in my top 10, but they could be sneaky. Derek Carr, I'm not trusting him. Josh Jacobs has been missing practice, although we expect him to play. Keep tabs on his status. I cut Tyrell Williams in my leagues. I want nothing to do with him. I'm done. He had that nice little 4-game stretch where he scored touchdowns. Since then, he's been just, you know, fantasy garbage.
So real quick on Jacobs, the dude has been playing through a fractured shoulder. Yep. What a warrior.
Yeah, I know.
Are you kidding me?
I know. Love it.
If I bruised my shoulder, I'd be like, nope, I'm done. Thank you. No, thank you. I'm not risking my body for this.
So let me ask you a question,
Dude's playing through broken bones.
Yeah.
His shoulder.
If you have Jacobs, or even if you have like a dead spot on your roster, which Raiders running back would you pick up in case the Raiders decide, all right, we're out of it.
I guess
we don't want to hurt this kid anymore.
I guess Rashard. He would probably play almost every snap for them.
Okay. All right.
But at the same time, they could definitely just go to some sort of
committee.
Gross committee.
Yeah. Darren Waller's an obvious must start. Big game last week. Not a coincidence that it was without Hunter Renfro. So Darren Waller's a play, obviously. Chiefs at Patriots. This is a big one. The injuries are in the Chiefs backfield, where Darrell Williams is done. Damian Williams is banged up. I don't want anything to do with the Chiefs running backs. Even if LeSean McCoy gets 20 touches, which he's not, I don't want him. The Patriots have given up 2 touchdowns, the fewest fantasy points to running backs. He is going to share time with Darwin Thompson. They also signed Spencer Ware. So I'm fading the Chiefs backfield this week. As for the rest of that team, Patrick Mahomes must start. And if you look at the matchup, well, it's not good on paper, but he has played the Patriots twice, including the playoffs, and averaged over 25 fantasy points. He's crushed. Tyreek Hill, I don't care about Stephon Gilmore here. There comes a time that there is a level of wide receiver that I don't care who he's playing.
Yeah, Hill's matchup proof.
He's one of them. I wouldn't play Sammy Watkins, though, this week.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm not playing Sammy Watkins. God. Chiefs defense I'm not playing, even though they're coming off of a big game. I don't want anything to do with the Chiefs defense. Travis Kelce is obvious. Now, the more confusing part of this from a fantasy perspective might be the Patriots. Tom Brady had a really good fantasy game last week. It was all garbage time, okay? He doesn't have anybody that he trusts to throw to outside of Julian Edelman and James White, who are both plays, obviously. The Chiefs have given up the most scrimmage yards and the most fantasy points to running backs. So, James White is an RB2. Are you starting Tom Brady?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I just...
That was pretty definitive.
No, you...
Steve, that was pretty definitive right there.
No. Yeah, Brady kind of had... I mean, he had a decent game for fantasy this past week just because he threw for 3 scores and had over 300 yards. But that was because they got behind. I mean, this Patriots offense, man, they have not looked good.
Nope.
In months.
Yep. I will say this too. Don't get lazy with your defensive starters.
Yeah.
The Patriots have been really good for most of the season. Lately, they have not because the opponents have been tougher. Yeah. I have the Patriots in like 3 or 4 leagues. I'm not playing them in any. Don't get lazy.
So over his last 5 games against the Browns, Ravens, Eagles, Cowboys, and Texans. So really, frankly, outside of maybe the Ravens, a lot of not particularly tough matchups. Tom Brady is completing just 55% of his passes for 6 yards per attempt.
Did you see Antonio Brown with his post yesterday?
No.
He posted on social media.
I don't follow
that. I can follow him on Instagram. He blocked me on Twitter.
Yeah.
But he posted basically something. It's a picture of him and Tom Brady and how he's like, I miss your brother. I love your brother.
Oh, that's
like that.
Stupid. One of him
trying
and
trying like hell to make that move happen. And the Patriots, I got to tell you something. They ain't winning the Super Bowl with this offense. They need Antonio Brown, but I don't know if it's going to happen. Sony Michel. Now, I've been giving you the stat all year long about how when he and Rex Burkhead are active, Sony Michel's not good. And Sony Michel has not been good for most of the second half of the season. I will tell you this. The Patriots are going to run the football in this game. Yeah. Okay? Bill Belichick's no
dummy.
They're going to try. All right? They're going to run the football. In 2 games against Kansas City in his career, Sony Michel has crushed over 22 fantasy points in both games. Just saying. I'm not saying start him. Just saying. That's a trend that you need to keep tabs on this week because the Patriots are going to want to keep Mahomes off the field.
They're going to try to keep Mahomes off the field. Mahomes is coming off two bad games against the Chargers and Raiders. Fabs, man.
I'm just saying. I think
the Chiefs could do. They're going to do some damage.
Seahawks at Rams. Another very important game here. The injuries.
Yes.
Gerald Everett.
Yeah, doesn't look like he's going to play.
Which means it's another Higbee game.
It's another Higbee game. Yeah, this is another good, and it's a good spot, too. I mentioned at the top, the Seahawks have really struggled against tight ends this year. Kind of quietly so, I think, in a certain sense. But, yeah.
They're giving up over 6 catches a game in the second most fantasy points, so Higbee is very startable.
It's a good spot. So if you picked up Higbee last week, I think you could roll him out again this week. There's probably not that many other options out there you could pick up and stream over him.
Yeah.
Maybe Vance, but I would play Higbee over Vance.
What are you thinking about Russell Wilson? His numbers have not been, like, tremendous over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. You know, so I think
road game. I got to look it up.
He's been around 17 or fewer fantasy points, but I think this game could... The key to this game is what kind of Jared Goff are we going to get? Because if Goff and the Rams don't move the ball, the Seahawks are going to be completely content just running Chris Carson and Rashad Penny like 40 times in this game. They'll be completely fine with that. But if the Rams can move the ball on offense, Russell Wilson will have a good game. And I think you pretty comfortably start him. I know he's been around like 17, 18 fantasy points for the last 5 or 6 weeks, it seems like. But this could be... If the Rams, look, the 2017-2018 Rams are not coming back, but if they move the ball relatively well here and keep pace with Seattle, Wilson can have a good game.
Yeah. Wilson, historically, although lately he's been better, he had struggled against the Rams. He has played the Rams on the road, looks like 7 times in his career, from what I'm looking at on Pro Football Reference, which I love this website. He has had 15.1 or fewer in every game but two. But the last time he played there, he had 37. So, I mean, it is what it is. And his last two games, he's actually crushed at the Coliseum. So I'd probably keep Russell Wilson in my starting lineup. But what the hell's going on with Tyler Lockett? I mean, you want to talk about a guy who went from stud to dud, like, in the blink of a freaking eye?
I think it's a little bit of just bad luck, because he got hurt.
You know, right, he got hurt.
He had that really bad leg bruised 2-3 weeks ago. Then they had their bye. Then this past week, apparently, he was dealing with the flu, which is unfortunate. And he only got 3 targets in that game. This week, look, Tyler Lockett plays almost, not exclusively out of the slot, but he plays the majority of his snaps out of the slot. And I think if the Rams were smart, and what they've been doing with Ramsey is they've been letting him travel and letting him go into the slot, I think Lockett is going to get Ramsey. And if he does, Fabs, DK Metcalf and Jacob Hollister are just
I like Hollister
spots
this week too. Yep. Yeah. I mean, people, you know, overlooking Jacob Hollister, we talked about like streaming tight ends. Like, he's getting targeted a lot in this offense. And if you look back to the start of the season, it hasn't mattered whether it's been, you know, Will Disley or Hollister. Seattle's tight ends have been pretty productive for fantasy owners. Just saying. So, and Hollister's got Arizona in week 16. So, I mean, I've got Hollister. Even if I don't play him, I'm just holding on to him, hoping I get to week 16. By the way, his name is Decaf Metcalf.
Yeah, Decaf Metcalf.
DK
Metcalf. Oh, yeah, you put that down there.
That was so funny, dude. So what are we doing with Jared Goff this week? I would expect this to be Todd Gurley's going to get a lot of touches in this game. And if you had suffered like most of us have who have Todd Gurley, now it looks like hopefully we're gonna get some of the benefits now of him playing sort of, you know, erratic snaps and getting erratic numbers of touches. He should be a go. What about Goff, though? I mean, like, I get it. Goff looked great, but it was the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the Cardinals. God, this jersey's huge on me. Look at this thing. I actually look like George Wendt in this thing. It makes me look like I'm about 50 pounds heavier than I am.
The sleeves are the funniest bit because you're wearing, like, they're like half, not,
look
like,
at it.
Like half sweatshirts.
Look at this dude.
And you have to wear it all day, right?
Hell no. I'm out of this thing after this podcast.
You could have lied. We all would have bought it.
No, it's fine. Day. No, it's fine. No, yeah. He's actually texting me right now, breaking my stones. But after this, it's going back in the closet.
Yeah. Real quick, back to Goff.
Yeah.
I would much rather play Tannehill and Darnold over him. I think that's where I'm at with it.
I don't trust him. And if you're not playing Goff this week, cut him because the matchups coming up. Well, actually, maybe not. He's got the Cowboys next week, and we are a garbage defense right now. Maybe you play Goff next week, but then he's got San Francisco.
I could see Goff having like a decent game, like 260 yards and maybe a touchdown or two.
I know
he could have a decent game.
I guess
really we just need him to have a decent enough game for Russell Wilson and the Seahawks to keep pace and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and all these guys.
Which is a play, Cooper, obviously. And Brandon Cooks is like, I mean, is he even rosterable right now? Isn't that double digits since like week two?
Yeah, you can't play Brandon Cooks this week with any confidence.
Final game, Giants and Eagles. And this one's kind of interesting. Eli Manning will be back for this one. That's not why it's really interesting. Eli's been terrible in Philadelphia for the most part in his career. So Daniel Jones is not going to play. Golden Tate is coming off missing a game. Evan Engram is coming off missing several games. Jordan Howard, I don't look like he's going to play. I don't think he's been clear for contact at this point. Now, I will tell you this, and I've been burned by this in the past, so take it for what it's worth. Evan Engram has put Evan Engram back into his starting lineup in my celebrity league. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means. He's actually going 12 personnel because he's playing himself and Tyler Higbee. I don't know what it means right now because it's Friday. I'm not sure. But
12 personnel, that's good.
I don't know what the deal is. But
yeah, I think he's going to play. He's practicing in full all week, and the Giants
It's a Monday night game, though, Graham. Yeah. Like, you almost have to have Caden on your roster as insurance, right?
Just as insurance. If you're like, if Vance McDonald...
Or if you have Dallas Goedert, you can grab Dallas Goedert as insurance.
Sure. If Vance McDonald and Higbee and all these guys are taken, you probably are going to have to play Engram. But at less than 100%.
Make sure you have insurance. I can't stress this enough.
Yeah, I mean, Evan Engram, I would hate to have Evan Engram, right? And like, you know, you haven't played him in a month. Evan Engram can smash in any matchup. And if he's healthy, like, I want Evan Engram in my lineups. But because you mentioned it's Monday night, there's quite a few. I know I've been bitching about tight ends all year, but there's quite a few pretty decent plays this week. Like,
it's gotten deeper. It's gotten deeper lately.
Yeah.
So it's not as much of a dumpster fire. And if you look at Caden Smith, I mean, double-digit points, yeah, two straight games.
Cade Smith,
and he is available. Like, he is owned in 0.1% of NFL.com.
So maybe that's the play. If you're just
that's the play.
If you're just completely dead at tight end and you don't have access to getting a streaming tight end, you just hold on to.
I would suggest though that if you have Higbee, if you have McDonald, if you have Rudolph, assuming Thielen's out, I'd just play it safe. I don't want to get screwed on Monday Night Football by my tight end, man. So on the other side, Carson Wentz is a tremendous play this week against the Giants. They have just been awful and gashed against quarterbacks. And with Wentz's full complement of weapons back, he obviously showed last week, great play. Miles Sanders, the Giants have been really good on running backs lately. Like, ever since they made that trade, they've been really tough. With that being said, I'm still playing Miles Sanders because volume. Alshon Jeffrey is a really good play. Zach Ertz, I mean, see what his practice status is on Friday. I assume he's going to play.
Yeah.
But
Ertz,
I don't like what I saw last week.
Ertz will play.
He should have had a touchdown last
week. Should have had a touchdown. He looked just unkind. Ertz is not particularly he's not a tight end who's going to make a lot of defenders miss, and especially at less than 100%. It was not good. But if he suits up, it's the same conversation as Evan Engram. Like, if he suits up and you have no viable options, you've got to play him.
Eagles defense is a great play also. A great play. I don't care what they did in Miami last week. This team is different at home. It's ridiculous how good they are defensively at home as opposed to on the road. So, home sweet home. Motley Crue song. Motley Crue. Are you guys going, man? Next year, Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett. Anybody going?
Come on. I might have to sit at home for that one.
That's going
to
be a hard maybe for me.
A hard maybe.
Right there, pal.
Very nice.
Got my Motley Crue shirt on. I'm in. I think I'm going to go to the San Diego show at Petco, though, because the LA show is September 5th. That's way too close. It's football season. I can't do that. So, anyways, I got my little 80s metal stuff going in right now. All right, let's go on. You know what time it is, guys.
Are you ready? It's fantasy bold prediction time.
I love Matt Money Smith's voice. I love it. Every time I hear that now, I love it.
It's the best.
I just love it. A man who must have smoked a lot of Benson and Hedges back in his days. My bold prediction, and you're going to like this one. Duck Hodges is going to be a top 15 quarterback this week.
Yeah.
I said earlier, like, I don't know if I could trust him.
Yeah.
But it's bold prediction, so what the hell?
Yeah.
So I think he could end up being in the top half of fantasy point scorers among quarterbacks.
I like it. You know, I mean,
in two QB leagues or super flex leagues, he is absolutely worth a roll of the dice.
Yep. And Hodges, for what it's worth, he hasn't done it very much this season. There's limited dropbacks, but he can scramble a little bit. He can move back there, too. Yeah, it's definitely possible. My bold call this week I've gotten a lot of questions this week about Josh Allen and what to do with him because it's the Ravens. It's a tough spot for them. I think Josh Allen's going to be just fine for this week. I'm not going to say he's going to finish like as a top three quarterback, but I'm going to say he's going to continue to be the QB1 that we've all had in our lineups. Finished as a top 15 quarterback in all but two games this year. And Allen has 45 yards or a touchdown on the ground in five straight games. So if the Ravens do get ahead in this spot, it's going to be good for Allen and his scrambling ability. So I'm sticking with Allen this week, like top eight, top nine quarterback.
You got anything for us, Steven? You want to throw one out there?
I can throw one out there.
All right,
those first two, I don't know if those were bold.
Duck Hodges?
Yeah, you said top 15.
Duck Hodges?
He's a flex. Where were you using the term bold? I'm going to go bold.
Oh, listen to this guy. All right, go ahead.
Todd Gurley had two touchdowns last time up in Seattle.
Okay.
This time, three touchdowns. Rams win, and Gurley does nothing the rest of the year.
Are you a Rams fan?
I live close by. No,
you're
no, no,
just
no.
a homer.
I'm a Lions fan, and it's been a tough time. But I do live close to USC. So.
So you're a Lions fan, but you root for the Rams.
I'm a Lions fan that it will go to the Rams on Sunday. How's that?
And root for them?
Sure.
See.
Sure, but it's not like
you only root for one team. Deep. That's it. There's none of this two team crap.
Well, no, it's not a second team.
You say that as a Dallas fan, which I mean, I know for what it's worth, you've been miserable about it.
Yeah, but, for the last 25 years, basically.
But they've been good. At least Detroit. I mean, Detroit has just been a packet of sorrow for so long.
I mean, do you even remember like when they went to the NFC Championship game against the Redskins when Eric Kramer was your quarterback? Do you remember the Barry Sanders years at all?
I'm a little too young for this. I'm aware that this occurred, but do I have deep seated memories?
I have seen
not
YouTube.
So much.
I have seen the YouTube
exactly.
videos.
That's exactly.
So funny. You don't remember Billy Sims or, you know.
I'm aware of these guys.
Herman Moore.
Yeah, I have this little pennant hanging up back in my old room in Michigan of Herman Moore. Right. I grew up in the Calvin Johnson era.
Yeah.
So the Lions are really good at having generational talents in this.
Yeah. See, I'm not into rooting for more than one team, though. I can't do it. I've been a Cowboys fan since I've been.
You could just be like me and root for all the teams and all the players.
But although this now I got fantasy football. That's all I got. I'm actually rooting for the Cowboys to lose every game the rest of the season because I'm so pissed.
You know what's gonna?
I got to listen to this audio of Jerry like swearing on the air. This ought to be.
You
fun.
Know what's fun is Dallas could lose out and still win the NFC East. It's just they could lose out.
They should. They
could lose it. Well,
NFC East should not get a playoff.
They could.
Game.
They could lose three or two of their final three games and just beating the Eagles, they would get in.
The Seahawks did it, and they won a playoff game.
It's true.
7-9.
We stink. Have you watched the Cowboys in the last 3 weeks? We're freaking awful. We are terrible. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the Cowboys and Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett. I got to get out. I got to be done. Yes, thank you. I'm done. Guys, good luck in your week 14 matchups. Crank it up even higher. Hopefully you're not crying after your weekly matchup, first round of the fantasy playoffs in most leagues. I'm Fabs. That's Graham. Steven, don't play that baby crying anymore. Good luck this week.